The title of my presentation is Adolescents' Attempts to Influence the Smoking Behavior of Friends. What determines promotion of risk versus protection? I'd like to acknowledge our sources of funding through the University of California system, obtained by the principal investigator, Bonnie Halpern-Felscher. Before moving on, I'd like to state that I, Sonia Brady, and my co-presenters, Anna Song and Bonnie Halpern-Felscher, have no financial or other relationships to disclose that are relevant to this presentation. Smoking during adolescence remains a public health concern. Tobacco use is the leading cause of preventable deaths among adults in the United States. Roughly 3,600 adolescents in the U.S. try their first cigarette each day, and of these adolescents, over 25% will progress to daily smoking. Symptoms of nicotine dependence can emerge before patterns of daily smoking are established. This highlights the potential danger if adolescents think that they can experiment with smoking without becoming addicted. In the health literature, the peer deviance model of risk behavior is the dominant model of social influence between peers. In 1939, Edwin Sutherland wrote, "Delinquent behavior is learned through association with delinquent peers." In 1977, Richard and Shirley Jesser wrote, "Peer approval and peer modeling have a strong impact on drug use and other problem behavior among youth." Recently, researchers have observed that adolescents rarely report direct peer pressure to engage in smoking. Rather, they wish to emulate admired peers. None of these views contradict one another. They just show how the peer deviance model of risk behavior has been defined or refined over the years. Still, in our literature searches, we couldn't find any studies that have examined the extent to which adolescents actively promote smoking among their friends. Let's look at this issue from another perspective, from a youth assets perspective. Do adolescents promote health protective behavior? The answer is yes. Qualitative research shows that peer pressure not to smoke may be more common and vehement than pressure to smoke. In one randomized controlled trial of a peer-led smoking prevention intervention in England and Wales, reduced rates of smoking were observed among students at intervention schools across 2 years. Still, we're left with some remaining questions. To what extent do adolescents actively deter smoking among friends? And does deterrence of smoking depend on adolescents' own personal smoking experience? My colleagues and I have recently published data showing that adolescents report both positive and negative consequences of experimenting with cigarette use. Similar percentages of youth, 56%, report any positive consequence of engaging in cigarette use, including feeling relaxed, looking cool, looking grown up, and becoming popular, and any negative consequence of experimenting with cigarette use, including having a bad cough, having trouble catching one's breath, getting into trouble, and one's friends becoming upset. With this slide, we want to raise the possibility that adolescents who experience positive consequences of smoking may be more likely to promote smoking among friends, while adolescents who experience negative consequences of smoking may be more likely to deter smoking among friends. This is a cross-sectional study within a larger longitudinal investigation. Adolescents were recruited from two Northern California high schools, and 4 surveys were conducted during the 9th and 10th grade, 1 survey during the fall and spring of each year. The response rate at time 1 was 50%, and of those adolescents who completed surveys at time 1, 90% completed surveys at time 2, 85% at time 3, and 84% at time 4. Data was examined from the last time point that adolescents completed a survey or reported smoking. We actually had 30 adolescents who reported smoking at one point in time, and then subsequently they reported never smoking. So for those 30 adolescents, we took their data from the time point, the last time point that they reported smoking. The total sample for this study was 389 adolescents. Six of the 395 failed to complete all of the constructs that we were interested in for this study. The mean age of adolescents was 14 years at study entry. Adolescents were 53% female. They were ethnically diverse, and they reported a range of the highest education achieved by any parent. By the final time point, corresponding to the spring of 10th grade, 153 adolescents reported any smoking, which included only puffing on cigarettes. This is 39% of the total sample. And 236 adolescents reported no smoking experience. So before moving on to the data, I just wanted to summarize the questions that we're examining. First, what percentage of adolescents actively attempt to promote and deter smoking among their friends? We'll examine percentages, whether percentages vary by gender, close friendships with daily smokers, smoking experience, which we define here as any versus none. Among smokers, we'll examine level of smoking experience, smoking whole cigarettes versus puffs, and we'll look at positive consequences of smoking and negative consequences of smoking. Then we'll move on to examine what factors are independently associated with attempts to promote and deter friends smoking. We conducted logistic regression analyses with simultaneous entry of predictors and conducted analyses separately within the total sample and the 39% of adolescents who reported ever smoking. So, what did we find? Only 22%, roughly one-fifth, reported engaging in any behavior to promote smoking among their friends, including encouraging smoking, offering cigarettes to friends, and lending money to friends to buy cigarettes. In contrast, 60% of adolescents reported engaging in any behavior to deter smoking among their friends, including encouraging quitting, discouraging their friends from starting to smoke, asking friends not to smoke, and taking cigarettes away. Now, this is within the total sample of adolescents. Here I show the percentage of adolescents promoting and deterring smoking by gender and having at least one close friendship with a daily smoker. If we focus on the left half of the slide, males are shown by red bars and females are shown by blue bars. We see that male adolescents are more likely than females to promote smoking, while female adolescents are more likely than males to deter smoking. If we look to the right half of the slide, we see that those adolescents who reported at least one close friendship with a daily smoker, shown by the yellow bars, were much more likely to promote smoking, but they were also more likely to deter smoking. Here we're looking at the percentage of adolescents promoting and deterring smoking by smoking experience and among smokers by level of smoking experience. If we look at the left half of the slide, we see that those adolescents who had any smoking experience, shown by the purple bars, were much more likely to promote smoking among friends, but they were also more likely to deter smoking. If we look at the right half of the slide, we're looking only among the 39% of adolescents who had ever smoked. The darker bars represent adolescents who smoked whole cigarettes, and the lighter colored bars represent adolescents who said they only puffed on cigarettes. Adolescents who smoked whole cigarettes were more likely to promote smoking among their friends, but there was no difference in attempts to deter smoking among friends by level of smoking experience among the smokers. This slide shows the percentage of adolescents promoting and deterring smoking by whether or not they experienced any positive consequences of smoking, shown by the red bars, or any negative consequences of smoking, shown by the yellow bars. One thing to keep in mind here is that with these chi-square analyses, looking at one type of consequences doesn't adjust for the other. So what I'm going to suggest as a way to interpret this slide is that those adolescents who smoke long enough to experience consequences probably have more occasions to promote smoking among their friends, and they might become more invested in deterring smoking behavior among their friends. Shortly, we'll see what happens when we put both types of consequences in the same model. But first, let's consider the total sample. Here we're looking at logistic regressions of behaviors to promote and deter smoking. If we look at the left half of the slide, we can see that having a close friendship with a daily smoker and having any smoking experience are independently associated with attempts to promote smoking among friends. If we look at the right half of the slide, we see that female gender, having any close friendships with daily smokers and having any smoking experience, are associated with behaviors to deter smoking among friends. Now, what happens if we look at the subset of adolescents, 39%, who had ever engaged in smoking behavior? If you look at the left half of the slide, we see that male gender and having any positive consequences of smoking are independently associated with any behaviors to promote smoking among friends. This is independent of close friendships with daily smokers, level of smoking experience, and any negative consequences. If we look at the right half of the slide, we see no association between study variables and any behavior to deter smoking. However, among ever smokers, gender and negative consequences of smoking were associated with attempts to deter specific behaviors. We found that female adolescents were more likely to take cigarettes away from friends. That's probably the most intrusive strategy to deter smoking that you can do, really preventing someone from smoking at that point in time. So females were more likely to do that than males. We also found that adolescents who experienced negative consequences of smoking were more likely to try to get friends to quit smoking and to ask friends not to smoke. And again, this is independent of the other study variables. So it does seem that adolescents who experience negative consequences are more likely to deter smoking among their friends, independent of positive consequences of smoking. So one big take-home message is that the peer deviance model of risk behavior may not adequately describe social influence mechanisms among peers and friends. We did find that among adolescents who had ever smoked, 48% reported any attempt to promote smoking, but we also found that 77% of those adolescents reported any attempt to deter smoking. In comparison to never smokers, ever smokers were more likely to promote and deter smoking among friends. And we also saw that adolescents who experienced negative consequences of smoking were more likely to encourage quitting and to ask friends not to smoke. I wanted to briefly integrate our findings with the larger literature. Patton and colleagues asked smoking and non-smoking adolescents what strategies might help adolescents to quit smoking. Here I show the data they found for adolescents who had smoked or were currently smoking. Between 36% and 54% of adolescents said that it would help to quit if friends discouraged them from smoking, stopped buying them cigarettes, stopped asking if they wanted cigarettes, stopped smoking around them, did things with them where they couldn't smoke, and wanted to quit smoking with them. What this suggests is that a sizable percentage of adolescents would probably be receptive to prevention and intervention efforts that involved their friends actively taking a role in trying to help them quit smoking. I also talked about a peer-led smoking prevention intervention earlier in this talk. That same group of researchers published a paper revealing that the majority of the peer supporters were mainly non-smoking individuals, and that these peer supporters said they talked less with adolescents that they considered to be addicted or members of smoking cliques. So the present findings suggest that adolescents who experience negative consequences of smoking may be ideal peer educators or supporters. We found that they're already more likely to actively deter smoking, and that's without being part of some organized intervention. These adolescents who have some smoking experience and who have experienced negative consequences may appear more credible to their peers who are smoking and may be more willing to pair with peers to aid in quit attempts. So some final take-home messages are that adolescents who have engaged in risk-taking may actively promote risk behavior consistent with the peer deviance model of risk behavior, especially when they experience positive consequences of risk taking. However, they may actively deter risk behavior, especially when they experience negative consequences. Adolescents who've engaged in risk-taking may be ideal peer educators and supporters for those who are currently engaging in risk if these adolescents have experienced negative consequences and if they're now committed to health protective behavior. Thank you.